words from the gospel. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages in the name of God, Source, Word, and life-giving Spirit. Amen. At school, many of us studied a foreign language. If you were educated in Ontario, it was French, and you probably didn't have much choice about it. For some of us, English is the foreign language learned at a school or through immigration. Learning languages is not everyone's cup of tea. Yvonne's mum has the knack and has discovered that Sesame Street is available on YouTube in pretty much all the major languages of the world, a handy way of getting the basics. But when Yvonne and I crash-landed in Southeast Asia with our bicycles, we had to suddenly come to grips with sounds and alphabets that were totally unrecognizable. In Vietnam, the legacy of French colonial rule meant that we could look up words on our phones and write them down in Roman script. In Laos, we would search the dictionary for the English word and simply pass the phone over. In northern Thailand, at one military checkpoint, we were asked, "Where are you coming from?" Well, it was not that far away, but our several attempts to pronounce the name of the town we had left in the morning resulted in blank stares. We started to dig at the map to point. They laughed, and they waved us on. Languages point to the diversity of the human experience, but they also point to something in common, a desire to express what comes from within. At Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Spirit that was promised by Jesus before he departed. It is a gift that results in an explosion of linguistic adoration of God. All praise to God in all the languages in the known world. It is, for me, a scriptural sign that diversity among Christians is a gift. But it also points to something in common. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit makes us one in our common source of divine guidance, comfort, and hope. It points to God within. Today I want to look at the promise of the Spirit given by Jesus as explained in the language of St. John's Gospel. Our Gospel presents to us a particular challenge because Jesus promises to send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. There is a risk of getting bogged down in complex ideas about what we are to understand when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Is it something legalistic? In what way does it reveal the truth about Jesus? How does it guide us and speak for us? Lots of confusion can arise, and we must accept that there is a diversity in the understanding of the Holy Spirit expressed across the New Testament and in our own working out of these ideas by the Church. I think it is helpful to remember that in this passage, we are in the last discourse, Jesus' farewell words to his disciples. In the context of Jesus' departure and with the shadow of the cross looming over the evening, Jesus speaks. At the midweek Eucharist, I mentioned that as Christians we celebrate that Jesus has ascended to the Father. In other words, we celebrate that Jesus departs. And that does seem odd because a life with Jesus right beside us just seems to make more sense. Imagine for a moment being a disciple. Wouldn't you want to say, "Well, Jesus, maybe it would be better for you to stick around"? But the Ascension is our annual goodbye party that reminds us that we do not celebrate that Jesus departed into nothingness. Jesus ascends to the Father. Now, reunited to the Father, Jesus dwells with him forever. And together, they send the gift of the Spirit. We believe that God the Father is present everywhere in creation, and thus ascended to the Father, we can celebrate that Jesus too is present everywhere. The presence of Jesus with us is the key to understanding our gospel. Jesus was the defense of the disciples. Now the Holy Spirit will continue to be their defense. Jesus was the teacher of the disciples. Now the Holy Spirit will continue to teach them. Jesus brought life to the disciples. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit will enliven his followers. The advantage of Jesus going away in the gospel is that through the Spirit, Jesus' presence is now united to each follower. In the Acts of the Apostles, the Spirit is expressed as a tongue of fire on the top of the disciples' head. But what grabbed me was the speech in all the languages of the world. It is what the Spirit produced on the inner level of these disciples. The Spirit's coming is going to be even beyond the idea that in Jesus God is with us. Now with the Spirit, God is within us. The presence of Jesus within us does not eliminate all of life's problems. The disciples are prepared by Jesus to face the same problems that he faced. In John's gospel, there is often a dualistic outlook. The followers of Jesus are those who saw the works and heard the words and believed that Jesus is God's Son sent for us. But the gospel records that lots of people don't believe. And in the end, Jesus is rejected, even killed, for his claims. The last discourse prepares the disciples that now they are to continue the works and words of Jesus. In his absence, the ministry of Jesus is continued by his followers with the help of the Spirit. But the warning is that if Jesus was hated, the same fate awaits. In the context of the formation of John's gospel, when there was already persecution of the church by both the imperial authority of Rome and the expulsion of Jewish Christians from the synagogues, the word hated makes sense. Less so in Toronto, some 2,000 years later. Today, the cross is a symbol of our faith, not an instrument of torture to be feared. But I think the Spirit is still working to prove a logic of God that many of us fail to grasp. At first glance, the cross is a disappointment. Jesus has failed to fulfill the expectations of the Messiah. But in the resurrection of Jesus, God took the side of the humiliated. The love of God is stronger than hatred, violence, and death. The Spirit gradually leads us to set aside our misplaced expectations and opens in us a new horizon, a horizon where God is renewing the face of the earth through the logic of the resurrection. Our faith does not give us easy answers, but it invites us to trust that Christ is with us, even in difficult times. The Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, can come to each of us. If we are open and available and patient, each of us can be filled with that Spirit. And in a language and words of our own, we will praise God. Our individual Pentecost experiences are not one-time events, but can occur over and over during our lifetimes. These Pentecost experiences can happen in church or at home, in the company of other people or in solitude, in silent prayer or amidst the noise and clamor of daily living. Our task is simply to notice and then welcome this spirit whenever and however it comes. When we are troubled or confused or frightened, the spirit can be a source of reassurance and support. When we are faced with hostility, the spirit can remind us of our Christ-given place in the world. When we feel empty or alone or lifeless, we can remember that faith is first and foremost a journey in hope. It encourages us to open our hearts to the life of the Spirit. And God living in us makes us more sensitive to the people and events around us. God living in us gives us the assurance to step out into the world and to continue the work that Jesus began. God living in us helps us to find the language and words to share the gospel in ways that continue the renewal of the face of the earth. Amen.